Blog Talk Radio.
Donna Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers featuring that girl, LeAndrea Johnson.
Listen, when a person becomes a believer, their spirit is made right. But sometimes the heart rim, the soul rim, the mind rim is a little slow getting the message because life has left a hole in it due to molestation, low self-esteem, abuse. But I came to tell you that God has come to heal the hole in your soul. My sister LeAndrea is going to help me with this story. Take your time, sister. Sing it for somebody.
Deliver me.
Rescue me from myself.
All I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody overthink a lot? Overthink a lot. That hurts you. Right. Now let's take it up and cry out. Say,
hurt.
Yes, sir.
Deliver me.
Take your time.
'Cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody out there got that message?
Praise the Lord, to whom all blessings are due. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Amen. This is one of my favorite songs, and I just want to thank everyone once again for tuning in and calling in to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing. I want you to be blessed with this song. This is Prophetess Teresa Dots, and I am excited and delighted about being here to talk about spiritual strategy for warfare and victory. So I want you to be blessed with this music, and I will be right back.
Say it again, hold up. Rescue me from myself, from my overthinking. That's right,
Deliver me.
Now let's take it up, choir. Let's take it up. We're singing this for somebody. Get down on your knees and just say, if my people who are called by my name would just sometimes get back down on your knees and pray and say, oh, this, anybody got it? Do I have a witness out there? Anybody need deliverance from yourself, from your overthinking? All right, this is it. I'm going to let you take it out, LeAndrea. Go ahead and talk.
Yes, begin to say goodbye to the old me. Begin to say hello, hello to the new me, where God is moving in a special strategic way. If things are not just happening, God has a plan for you. And we have to get in where we fit in if you understand where you fit in. And how do we know where we fit in? By getting into prayer, getting into God's presence, and beginning to allow God to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, hallelujah, and to direct us. So, Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, for this hour of power, your power, Father. Father, that you began to move by your spirit like never before. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you will come into this room, Lord God, that you will come into our house, Father, that you will sweep everything that's not like you. And God, that we would allow your presence to rule, to super rule, and to take over. Not just our day, Lord God, but take over our lives so that when the enemy comes, that he would even think to eat up our flesh. Lord God, that we would have spiritual strategies, we would mobilize, Lord God, and the enemy would flee because there's an immovable in the word of God. So, Father, I ask you to cover everyone on this line, Lord God. Father, allow everyone's ear gates to be open. Allow our heart gates to be open so that we can not only hear, but, Lord God, that we would know your way, Father. So, in the name of Jesus, we yield to your Holy Spirit. Hide us behind the cross and move by your spirit. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. For some reason, I am so excited that March is here. It's spring, and my husband was talking about the time is springing forth. Hallelujah. And I don't take anything for granted. Things are springing forth. God is birthing some things in your life. It's new grass coming up. It's the sunshine, the rain, all of that together is going to make and mold us to become what God has called us to become. So I want to welcome you to your destiny. Amen. I want to say God bless you and thank everyone that have been faithfully listening to and been involved in our spiritual boot camp. Amen. We are talking about spiritual strategy. Hallelujah. For warfare and victory. You know, when we operate in the natural realm, that's something that's a given. You know, we wake up in the morning and, you know, maybe we say our prayers, maybe we go into meditation, or maybe we go and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever we do, prepare for our journey for the day. Those are some of the natural things that we do. But there's a spiritual realm. And what we're talking about today is tapping in to that spiritual realm so we will know what's going on in a spiritual, in the spiritual atmosphere of our lives. So, and I would do a review, but you can go to our archive, www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, and you can listen to our teaching in archive. So you'll be able to catch up and be where we are in this teaching. But I'm talking today about active military service in God's army. See, we know that we have a natural army. We have soldiers that work for the government of this world, and we work for the government of God's kingdom. Amen. So to mobilize, it means to put in a state of readiness. Hallelujah. You know how they say, attention, soldier. I say to you, attention, soldier. Be at attention. So a state of readiness for active military, I'll say, service. It's mobilization. And that's what we're missing. Mobilizing. Coming together. It's a process of being deployed as part of the spiritual forces of God's army. Are you ready to mobilize? Are you ready to make a change? Yes, we talk about it. But it's time, hallelujah, it's time to be about it. Amen. How do we mobilize? In order to mobilize, we have to have offensive and defensive warfare techniques. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Amen, amen. I want to ask you, if you got your major weapon, hallelujah, what would be your spiritual gun? And that's your Bible, the basic instruction before leaving Earth, your Bible. I hope you have the tools, because we talked about on last week needing certain tools in order to fight a spiritual battle, and dressing for the attire for war, having on your armor. But I need you to get your Bibles out. If you have your cell phone, come on, go to your Bible app, and I want you to turn to Ephesians, hallelujah, Ephesians 4 and 27. Glory, glory to God. I'm telling you, your Bible might just seem like a book, but it's a weapon that causes the enemy to flee. Amen. And I'm going to read the B clause. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and 27. And the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. See, sometimes we give place to the devil. We allow him in our circle. We allow him in our space. We allow him to sit with us. We sit with him. We suck with him. We go with him. We go places with him. Hallelujah. But I want to talk to you about there are two types of warfare in the natural world. Amen. And I'm going somewhere with this. Offensive warfare and defensive warfare. And the Bible teaches about both defensive and offensive spiritual strategies, but we must learn to fight both. We have to learn how to fight defensively and offensively. See, sometimes we just fight offensively, but we're not, I mean, we're defensively, but not offensively. And the only other option, if we're not fighting defensively or offensively, is desertion, which is unacceptable. We're not having no soldiers desert or quit or throw in the red towel. You got to fight, fight, fight. Amen. We're in this battle to win. We didn't get in it to lose. We are in it to win. And what do I mean? We want to make heaven our home. We want to not only leave this earth realm and go to heaven, but we want to live in heaven spiritually in our minds while we're here on earth. And there are some tools that we can use to conquer every demonic force that tries to steal your peace, that tries to kill your destiny. The enemy says, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. You want to kill your peace, destroy your purpose, your destiny. Amen. He wants to destroy relationships. See, he wants to get you all to yourself. So if he can get you all to yourself, then he can speak to your mind. And if he speaks to your mind, he'll have you thinking his thoughts. And if you think his thoughts, guess what? You'll play his game. Amen. We're talking about spiritual strategy for warfare. Gotta fight to win. Amen. And I just have to say to you, we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. Amen. Because why? Why do I have to be sober? And why do I have to be vigilant? Because the adversary, the devil, he comes as a roaring lion. Can you imagine a lion roaring coming at you? And there's nowhere to run. But he's coming at you. And you don't even see him coming. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, let me say this. So we're not looking for a lion to come and walk about and seek to destroy us. He works through people. He works through relationships. But yet and still, the Bible says that flesh and blood is not our enemy. But however, there's a spiritual realm that activates two bodies. Because the enemy cannot do anything unless he has a body. Let me make it plain so that you can understand flesh and blood is not your enemy. It is the spirit that lives inside of that person that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. See, the enemy is Satan himself. And in previous teaching, I talked about some things on how Satan operates. But now I'm going to talk about how we must operate when he does what he do. Amen. When he does what he do. That's how I want to make it plain to you. So we can't give place to him. So somebody throw out a conversation to trap you so that you can get into a debate. Amen. That's a trap. Neither give place to the devil. So we must learn to fight defensively and offensively, and we can't quit. So this teaching is going to be about both offensive and defensive warfare. Amen, amen. Because guess what? Both of these tools are weapons. Both of these two. Think about a football game. You got the defense and you got the offense. and you need both, because teamwork, hallelujah, makes the dream work. So we work together. Let me talk about defensive warfare first. What is defensive warfare? I want you to use these tools and watch. You're going to win every single time. Defensive warfare is battle. It's waging to defend territory. Territory. See, the enemy comes and he takes territory of our mind. He takes territory so he can overtake us. So, like the foot soldiers, when they go in to fight, guess what? They're fighting for territory. The enemy is fighting for territory of your mind. It is warfare that waits for the enemy to strike. So when the foot soldiers go in, guess what? They get in position and they wait for the enemy to strike. So defensive warfare is to pull the forces together to have a defensive response when the enemy comes. So you have to be ready, because guess what? He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Just like the Bible says that God has given angels, hallelujah, charge over us. So we got at least one angel that has been given charge over us. And my husband talked about that for a couple of weeks on Thursday, talked about angels. Well, we know Satan duplicates everything that God does and everything that he has done. So if we got an angel that's assigned to us, hallelujah, Satan has assigned a demon to us. And he wants, and they warn. And they warn. Flesh and spirit is warring all the time. Your flesh is warring against your spirit. Why? Because the flesh wants territory. Want to tell your spirit what to do. Amen. But we're talking about defensive warfare. This type of warfare does not advance into enemy territory. This type of warfare is you stand ready for the enemy to come. So you don't go to the enemy. He comes to you and you're ready. You're defending the territory that you've already claimed. Amen. You have claimed the victory. So it's important that we understand that the spiritual forces of evil are constantly attacking us as believers. They don't quit. You know the old saying, we don't die, we multiply. They don't die. They are death, but they keep coming to destroy believers, to destroy your livelihood, to destroy your dreams, to destroy your hope, to destroy your happiness, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, to take away the love walk. That's what the enemy's job is, to destroy that man that God has made. So if you do not know how to defend yourself, you will become a victim of these attacks. So we have to know that our battle is not with our brother and sister. See, a lot of times we go to church, but we don't understand that the battle is not with my brother, it's not with my sister, it's not with anyone that God made, because the Bible says that he wished that no man would perish. So that's why we have to tap in the spiritual warfare. What spirit am I dealing with? The Bible says, try the spirit by the spirit so that we will know if it's God. So don't just mix and mingle. You have to know what you're dealing with. Amen. So we're talking about defensive warfare. So that's when they bring it to you. When the enemy bring it to you and you're ready. You stand ready. Okay? Brief introduction on defensive warfare. Now let's talk about offensive warfare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Offensive warfare is, I like to say, it's aggressive warfare. It's when you're taking it to the, you're going to the fight. Because you're aggressive. It's not warfare where you're waiting. Just the opposite of defensive. You're waiting for the sneak attack. But offensive is when you're going to take the ball. Amen. Kind of those that study football, you understand. You got to get that ball because he had the ball too long. We got to take it back. Amen. So we're talking about spiritual strategies. These are tools that we must use in order to win. So we can't be all discombobulated, thinking la 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 la. We're just going on about our day, but we're not growing when it comes to the things of the spirit. So offensive warfare. I'm not going to go and say, "What did you say about me?" And let's go into this verbal judo. No. You sit back, you relax, you collect your thoughts, and then you make a plan of action before you aggressively go into warfare. Again, I said it's aggressive, so it's a warfare that takes the initial attack. In other words, get the party started. I want you to understand what I'm saying. The enemy is identified. You recognize what you're dealing with. This is the spirit of hate. So you recognize this is the spirit of discord. You identify what spirit you're dealing with. This is the spirit of division. This is the spirit, whatever the spirit is, the first thing we have to do is identify what spirit we're dealing with. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, operating through our loved ones, that's where we have a problem. I love you. So we allow our loved ones to get away with so much, we don't identify what spirit is in operation. You know, whether it's a lying demon, whether it's a demon of manipulation, whatever it is, we have to identify it first. So the enemy has to be identified. So his strategy is he don't want you to know his name. He don't want you to call him out. You know, you just call it by his name, man. Is he going to fight? Yes, he's going to fight. But you have to identify it, and then you recognize the demon by name. Amen. And so the offensive advantage that you against him or against the enemy is made available in the spiritual world. You can't, well, sometimes you can look with your natural eyes and see what's happening, what's operating in the natural, but you can only understand spiritual things with a spiritual mindset. And that spiritual mindset put us in a spiritual realm, which is our spiritual world. So in offensive warfare, the attacker, listen, has the advantage of making decisions first. I'm going to make that plain. I'll say it again. In offensive warfare, the attacker has the advantage of making decisions first. Offensive warfare gains territory rather than defend it. And I hope you understand the point that I'm trying to make. The offensive advantage is the only type of spiritual warfare which will reach the world, I'll say, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we cannot remain in our comfortable setting, a comfortable home, with our shades pulled down, our little comfortable churches, or our big comfortable churches, and we don't practice defensive strategies. We've got to be ready. So the army of God, we have to take advantage of the enemy territory. What does that mean? It must go to, say we got strongholds of Satan. And the power of the gospel can break these strongholds. So here goes the stronghold, standing ready, and you bring it to the person that has the stronghold. What are we doing? We're waging war aggressively, offensive spiritual battle. So if I know someone is sowing discord, the Bible says that discord among the brethren, God hates it. So if a person is sowing discord, what they're doing is they're dividing the whole. And we're stronger together. We're better together. We can accomplish more when we operate in unity. The Bible says that the fivefold is to bring the body of Christ into the unity of the faith. Amen. So we have to get people to unify And so what the enemy does is he causes division. You know, God might send a blessing to you or to your family, and then the person or the blessing get rejected. Why? Because discord has came into play, because the enemy know that if I send my soldier to help you, and then there's another spirit there causing discord, more than likely you won't receive the blessing or you'll miss the blessing. So we're talking about understanding what you need to do, offensive warfare and defensive warfare. Amen, amen. We're talking about causing the enemy to fly, to flee. He has to go. You literally have to demand him to leave. Tell the liar to stop lying. Tell discord that you got to go. We recognize you. You have to call it out. There's one thing in common about defensive and defensive warfare. There's one thing that's in common, and both involve personal action by the believer. We have to do something. You know, we can't just have these gifts and not contribute one way or another to the kingdom of God. So in natural warfare, unused weapons do not inflict casualties. So if you don't use what you got, you ain't going to hurt nobody. You're not going to help nobody. You're not going to hurt nobody. Guess what? Because you never shot a bullet. You never approached the enemy offensively, defensively. You never set the battle ground and prepare for the enemy to come. When he comes, you really got the booby trap for him, because you're equipped and you qualify and you're ready. You mobilize. Your plan of action is there. Now, in all of that, the battle is not with flesh and blood. So there's so many different facets of love. See, when we have to come against the enemy, a lot of times people think that you have to target the person and you might wound their spirit, but you can do it in love. And as long as they know that you're not doing this to hurt them, but it is to what? Help them, because it's in love that we were created to do this. God is love. Listen, I heard someone say love is God. No, God is love. God is love. Not love is God. God is love. We represent our love. Our love walk to represent God. So if I have to correct you, I need to correct you in love. Amen. If the Bible says that a wise man receives correction, and then the Bible also says that a foolish person rejects correction. This good to me. I don't know about y'all, but this good to me. Amen, 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 amen. I just know that we have to be prepared to come out of the house, raise up the window, and come forth so that we can be a blessing in whichever way that God would have us to be a blessing. It's blessing time. It's time to use your gifts. It's time to use your talent. It's time to mobilize. And I said this on last week, and I'll say it again. Something about, you know, the different, you got the Republicans and you got the Democrats and you got the liberals and so on and so forth. But one thing about the Republicans, they work together. Whether they're wrong or right, they work together. They work together. And one of the strategies that we have to use as the kingdom of God, we have to work together. We must learn to respect the other person's gifts without getting envious and jealous, and be happy because guess what? We're on the same team. We're working together, and we're stronger together. You know, we're better together. So when the enemy knows that he can't come and divide us, guess what he'll do? He'll flee. Amen, amen. there's one thing that I was saying that we have in common with offensive and defensive warfare, and that's the part that we play. We play a part in both of the types of warfare. And then we have to play a part. The same part that we play is that we have to strategize to be effective. So we can't just be doing this and doing that. We have to be led by what? The Spirit of the Lord. So in order to be led by God, we have to be able to hear Him. And in order to hear Him, we have to have what? A relationship with Him. And when we talk to Him, guess what? The Spirit of God will lead, guide, and direct. And that's what Jesus said when He left the earth. He said, I'm going to leave my Spirit, and He's going to be a comforter. And His purpose is to lead, guide, and direct. So we have to have the direction of the Spirit of the Lord so that He may lead us and guide us and direct us. Let me give you a story. In the Old Testament, a battle in Old Testament, the Lord, guess what? He actually fought for and with His people because He was involved in the battle. I'm talking about with Israel. We're Israel. But first, they had to position themselves on the battlefield. They had to mobilize. What's the strategy? Am I offensively fighting, or is it a defensively fighting? Let's mobilize and let's strategize. So when we go to battle, the plan of action is already in place. Amen? So you got a member on drugs. You got a family member that, whatever the problem may be, the family has to mobilize. Whatever it takes, you have to come together to make it happen. Amen? And guess what? God was fighting the battle, not just for Israel, but He was fighting it with them. But you know, like I said, they had to position themselves. So when God sees a spiritual weapon being used, hallelujah, in His name, see, when you call on His name and you're a woman or a man of God and you're on the battlefield, I dare you to attempt the impossible. Watch God do the possible. Amen. I dare you to ask to get in this warfare and then watch the Lord of hosts. He's going to move into action. He's going to mobilize. You take one step, guess what? He'll get the job done for you. You know, I was thinking, I was reading the story of Elijah the other day in 2 Kings in chapter 13. I was reading verses 14 through 19, hallelujah. And it was the bow and arrow. And it was like, I'll say a spiritual parable to help understand our part in the battle. Let me give you a demonstration of the intention of this fight. They was at war. Elijah told the king that he said, take up your bow and arrow. And this was Paul's talking. So Paul said, take the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Take the sword of the Spirit and declare war. So by taking up your offensive and defensive weapon, guess what you're doing? You're demonstrating your intentions to fight. So somebody walk up to you. I'm going to take it to the natural realm. And they put the little stick on your shoulder and they knock it off. Pick up your bow and arrow. Their plans was to fight. That's the demonstration of the intention to fight. Make note of that. And I'm going to give you a couple points and then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to give you 6 points that I would like you to make note of. Amen. It's something because just knowing and having a plan of action when you get ready to go into warfare, when you use the tools, you're going to win. And then the second point, the first is demonstrate your intentions to fight. when Elijah told the king, take up your bow and arrow, it's on. Amen. And then the second one, put your hands on the weapon. Amen. Elijah told the king to put his hand up on the bow. And then Elijah laid his hand up on the king's hand. What was that? What was that all about? See, the strategy for victory is your hand up on the weapon and God's hand over your hand. I can feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the presence of the Lord because I feel like somebody's sitting at the table and someone is actually eating. And then the third point, open up the window. Open up the window. So we got the demonstration, demonstrate your intention to fight. And then put your hands on the weapon. We're still in 2 Kings 13. 14 through 19. And then when you open the window, what does that mean? Open up the window of the place where the enemy is victorious. So you take him to the camp. See, now he done took this territory, and there you go opening up the window. So Israel's foe was to the east, so Elijah told the king to open the window eastward. Because God wants you to open up the windows in every area of your life that you've been exposed to failure, that you've been exposed to defeat, that you've been exposed or you felt like you've been in bondage of the enemy. You got to open the window up. You got to deal with it. Amen. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. Hallelujah. So he got his hands on the bow and arrow. And then God's hand is on top of his hand. Now the window is open. What's going to happen next? Shoot! That's the fourth thing. What do I mean by shoot? See, Elijah told the king, shoot! And the king shot. And then Elijah said, the Lord's arrow of victory over Syria. The open window is not enough, but the weapon in your hand, it's not sufficient. But even God's hand upon your hand will not win the battle. But you must first follow the commands of the Lord of hosts and shoot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, this is your part in the warfare, to actually use the weapon that's in your hand, which is to guide your hand by the Lord. Gotta shoot. So you got all the tools. You know what the issue is, you got to go after it. So now we talked about shooting and then shoot. Now, the fifth point that I want to make is know your objective. Know what you want to do. Know what you're trying to get done. Listen to this. Elijah told the king to take the arrow and hit them up on the ground as a symbol of his victory over Assyria. So the king did so, and guess what? But he smoked it twice and stayed. Elijah told him that because he limited God by hitting the ground only three times, his military victory would be limited. See, this happened, listen to this. This happened because the king did not understand the objectives of warfare. So Elijah had said to the Lord wanted to totally consume the enemy. That's verse 17. The Lord wanted to take him out. You can't play with the enemy. You can't sleep with the enemy. You can't, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. No, devil, you got to go. Satan, you are a liar. Oh, don't be so mean. Listen, the blood of Jesus rebuke you. You can't play with the devil because he's not playing with us. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy us. See, if he kills you, he kills your dream, he kills your vision, he kills your hope, he kills your purpose, and he kills your reason for being. Amen. We're not defeated. Know your objective. Your objective is to take the enemy head off. You're not playing. I'm going to shoot you in your toe. You better stop. I'm shooting your toe. Mm-mm. Because you remember, I like to laugh. You remember, I think it was it Cotton Come to Holler? It was one of those movies, and it was Eddie Murphy and my husband not here, but he would know her name. Bella Reid. I believe that was it. He kept messing with her, and guess what? I think she shot him in, I don't know if it was his toe or his behind or whatever, his gluteus maximus, or whatever she shot him, but she didn't shoot him to take him out. She shot him to back him up. Know your objective. So by striking the ground only three times, the king was settling for only a partial victory. So the Lord's objective for us is to totally crush the enemy with our weaponry in every area of our lives, in every area of our ministry. See, if you fail to understand what your objectives are, then your victory will be limited. Know what's bothering you. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, write it down. Make it plain. The Bible said those that read it can run with it. You got to write down any areas that you want to crush the enemy in. The enemy don't necessarily be outside of you. It could be the enemy could be living inside of one of us or many of us or even all of us if we let him. Now, the sixth point that I want to make. Win first in the second chamber. Hallelujah. See, what happened between Elijah and the king? King Joab. It was in the secret chamber. See, that day, it determined the outcome of the battle with Syria. See, it is what happens in the secret chamber with the Lord that determines our victory. When we get to the actual battle. Why? Because he's leading and he's guiding and he's directing. We in it to win it. We're not playing. I know I'm not. You know, sometimes the enemy can just get on your last nerve and use his devices. See, Satan has devices that he uses. And they basically the same tools that, you know, like we use offensive and defensive warfare. Guess what? He used the same thing. See, basic to both offensive and defensive warfare is just having knowledge of Satan's strategy. Turn to our first, no, it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We have to know the tools that he's using so that when we get ready to take him out, it's easy. And he grows off of fear, and he's crushed with faith. He wants you scared. He wants you weak. He wants you isolated. He wants you in unforgiveness. He wants you to have this concern and that concern, and you're all over the place with your emotions. That's what Satan wants. God to come together and be one, not just with others, but within. Amen. What is the Bible in 2 Corinthians 2:11? The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, the word devices means scheme. Devices means a plot, a project, or an underhand plan of evil, a device, his evil character. Satan can gain advantage over us when we're ignorant of his devices and we fail to respond in an offensive or defensive way. Oh, I'm telling you, this is just something else to me. I just love being able to understand God's battlefield. You know, because I don't care who you meet. I don't care who you talk to. Guess what? God will start revealing things to you. And you'll be like, oh, I don't even want to know that. But see, God will give you such a gift of discernment. The person won't have to say anything. And God will reveal to you their whole plan, their whole plot. Because Satan, he's going to bear the fruit that he bears. Amen. But we really, what I'm trying to say is, we got to overlook, we're picking fruit, but we got to get to the root. See, when we get to the root, if you dig the tree up from the root, it's not coming back. But if you just keep on picking apples off the oranges and the bananas and what have you, guess what? In its season, it's coming back. We got to dig it up from the root. We got to go for the gusto. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe in strong intercession. You know, I believe that when I talk to God, hallelujah, that he talks back to me, and I believe that he gives me a plan of action, that he leads and he guides me, he directs me. He says, oh, no, don't go over there, or stay away from this, or stay away from that, or, you know. So why does he do that? Because he knows how much you can bear. So God want to keep us in the spirit and keep us from activating that stinky flesh. See, the flesh will cause you to miss heaven. So we try to operate in the spirit. So what do? There's good in everybody. But there's a demon whenever you see the fruit producing from that person that's destroying the will and the plan of God. So you have to know it. You have to try the spirit by the spirit. God is good. So even in our home, you know, even with our loved ones, we have to, you know, I just called it out, you know. I know my mother sometimes, she'd be like, baby, you know, baby, wait a minute, baby. No, I mean, I'm good with it, but I can't stand those demons. It's hard for me to tolerate them because I know when they operate. Amen. So, you know, everybody got tools that they use. And now my mom, it takes a lot for her to go into warfare. She has to, her grace has to be in war out because she got the gift of mercy on her. And I ask God to give me more, you know, because I can tolerate more. But it's like I'd be wanting to crush that demon as soon as I see him. Because I know his motive. I know his plan. I know what he comes to do. He comes to take you out. And if you allow God's hands to be on your hand, when you get ready to pull the trigger, when you get ready to go into warfare, guess what? You will never, ever miss your target. You will not miss. But you cannot be afraid. And that's what's wrong with the body of Christ. We don't want to deal with spiritual warfare. We want victory in the natural. We want to go along to get along. I had a good friend. I have a good friend. And she has a PhD. And she said, you know, Prophetess, I just always went along to get along because I didn't want no trouble. You know, and it made me think about, they called Jesus a troublemaker. And I remember one of the guys at my church, he said, he found some trouble. And I knew exactly what he was saying. And that was a compliment. Yes, here comes trouble to every demon that thinks that he's going to be comfortable in my presence. I'm telling you, God will let you know when. He'll let you know when. He'll give you a strategy. He'll tell you. He'll talk to you. He'll lead you. We don't have to be saying, you know, we pray, yes, because prayer is a weapon. But what does prayer do? Prayer gives you the heart of God. Prayer gives you the mind of Christ. Prayer gives you a strategy. Prayer is a monologue and a dialogue. Your purpose and your objective for prayer is to get the voice and the will of God for that situation. Because God's not coming down and do it himself. That's what he got you for. That's what he got friends and people for, to strategize to get the work done. Because he finished his course. He said, amen. God finished it. So now we got to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. We got a job to do. You know, so if you know someone that you know they got a gift on them, you know they're called for the battle, you know, I talked on last week about the different type of gifts and the gift of administration, the gift of serving, the gift of giving, whatever your gift is, we need to mobilize. And when we mobilize and we put it all together, we can make things happen. You know, you might have a gift of mercy. My mother got that. You know, she has a lot of it. So she just got mercy for everybody. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Hallelujah. And I have to ask God for grace. Lord, give me grace to be able to tolerate this. So I'm saying some people have overflowed this and overflowed that. But guess what? If you allow God to lead you and you allow him to direct you, everybody around you will be blessed when you're around. Because you're bringing the blessings of God when you come. Now, I'm not saying that we are that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you stand for God, you coming in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I get so many. I am a business coach. And it's such a wonderful thing to do because you get an opportunity to minister to people. And they come, and when they bring their tangible gifts, because you render service, I was always told if you solve problems, you get paid. So I solve problems and I get paid, amen? But I get an opportunity to minister to people. I get an opportunity to tell them about my Christ. I get an opportunity to explain my peace. I get an opportunity to love people that feel love less. God is good. God is merciful. And he's kind. And he gives you an opportunity to be a blessing wherever you can be a blessing at. So that's important. So wonderful to be able to talk about spiritual strategies of warfare. Learning to strategize. You know, sometimes you might deal with a person and they may not actually tell you what they're trying to say. They might throw hints, but the way God works, he'll give you a straight up understanding of the message and the mission that they have. Amen, amen. Glory to God, for God is all of that. And he neither sleep nor slumber. Amen, amen. Well, again, you know, we have to set a spiritual climate, set the atmosphere, you know, of worship, set the atmosphere of praise, set the atmosphere of joy, excitement, love. So people like to be around that. And I'm going to leave you with one scripture. How to set the atmosphere. Let's turn to Mark 6, 5 and 6. Amen, amen. Mark 6, verses 5. Listen what this says. And he could there be no mighty work. Say that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. It was an atmosphere of unbelief. And he went around about the village teaching. See, when Jesus couldn't do no miracles because of unbelief, guess what he did? He started teaching. He wasn't going to give his pearls to the swine. So he said, okay, all this unbelief going on, I'm just going to do some miracles. I'm just going to do some teaching. So before God do anything for us, supernaturally or in a major way, a major scale, we have to have faith in what I'm teaching you. You have to create an atmosphere of worship. You have to create an atmosphere of expectation that God will lead you and he will direct you and he'll put you in the right place so you can do the right thing. So if there's anything too hard for God, I don't know about it. But if you have any prayer requests, if you have any situation that you may want to want us to Kingdom Builders Development Institute, because we have a lot of pastors and ministers and apostles and fivefold and even the gifts we're connected with, intercessors, prophetic intercessors. If you have any prayer requests that you would like to give us, we want you to please give us a call. And you can call us at area code 313-534. I'm sorry, I'm giving you my husband's number. 313-583-9739. Amen. And you can give us your prayer request. We have intercessors waiting to get in the faith fight with you so that we can see the victory using spiritual strategies for warfare. The devil is a liar. You already won. You already won. But in order to walk out this, your salvation with fear and trembling, we have to be connected with the right people. You have to be encouraged with the right people. You have to be surrounded by the right people. Amen. So if you like what we're doing, we want to encourage you to sow where you're going. You can go to www.givify.com. That's G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y.com. And you can look for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, and you'll see my husband and I. And you can sow into the ministry. You'll see the many different projects we have going on. And you're able to sow there. And we're 501c3, so you're able to write it off on your taxes. We want you to partner with us so that we're able to further God's purpose in the earth realm. We are starting our YouTube channel. We're starting our streaming live where you'll be able to come in, and we're going to have broadcasters where they're going to be doing interviews. We're going to be talking about problems that people are dealing with, how to overcome problems. So it's a platform that God has already ordained. So again, I want to thank you so very much for allowing God to use you and to set time apart so that you can be empowered, so that you may be celebrated. Amen. Don't just be tolerated. Be celebrated so you'll be pushed into purpose. When a person don't want to celebrate you and they don't tolerate you, I just tell you to be ghost. Amen. That's just me talking, okay? Be ghost. But be around spiritual strength. Be around love, you know, and give love. And when you're ever around where you're rejected or wherever the situation may be, what's your scripture? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment is already condemned. There's a weapon in the word. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we thank you so much for tuning in. Join us tomorrow. Elder will be here at 5 o'clock, same time, same place, live at 5, www.blogtalkradio.com/KBBI. You can tune in. You can give us a call at area code 646-668-20. God bless everyone. We love you, and have a terrific, supernatural rest of your evening. God is happy.
All of us have been prodigal children at one time or another. And I tell you, children, it's possible for the Lord to drive you home. But he can drive you home to truth. And he can fix it for you if you trust him.
God's trying to tell you something. Y'all think God's trying to tell you something?
Think God's trying to tell you something. To me.
Speak, Lord.
Won't you speak to me?
I'm so blind.